Time to get ready.
Of course. Ready for what?
It's the big interview. Thinking big, living big, talking big with market strategists, money managers, economists, authors, and more.
Get ready to feel the thunder.
Long chats with big brains meant to give you a better view of the big picture.
As far as brains go, I got the lion's share.
As money life goes big time.
Big reason for this success is you.
Literally.
Well, today we are going big time with Tadas Viskanta. He is the founder and editor of Abnormal Returns. And I have to say, I need to thank one of our audience members, Jay in Kansas. He didn't tell me where he's from in Kansas, but Jay wondered why we had not had Tadas Viskanta on the show. We did back when he wrote his book, Abnormal Returns, Winning Strategies from the Front Lines of the Investment Blogosphere. But that was a couple years ago. And if you are not familiar with abnormalreturns.com, it is a website that is really going to help you sort of figure out what is out there that can help you. I mean, I think that's the best way to describe it. That's what I would say. And I do look at it, and I'm really kind of a bit remiss that I hadn't had Tadas back on the show, but we're going to fix that now. Again, the website is abnormalreturns.com. The Twitter handle is @abnormalreturns. Tadas Viskanta, welcome back to Money Life.
Chuck, it's good to be back.
I should have had you on because Lord knows, as you go out and search through the investment blogosphere, I always think that on this show we get a lot of opinions, but you are looking at even many more than we are. And right now, I don't know, I think the blogosphere that I look at suggests that it's kind of like talking to economists. And if you lay them all end to end, you still can't reach a conclusion. Are you reaching any conclusions about the market from the stuff that you see right now?
You know, you're absolutely right. There's one of the challenges for anybody, and especially somebody who is kind of sitting amidst the investment blogosphere and the financial media, is trying to find, is trying to pull some of those threads. And one of the challenges is something I'm sure some of your previous guests have talked about, and that's something called confirmation bias. And that is the challenge of looking, when you look at information, you kind of come at it, you don't really come at it with a blank slate. You're really coming at it with your own kind of biases and preconceptions. And I think that's always the biggest challenge. And I think that is all the more evident in today's financial media. I think there is always there's the explosion of financial media and blogs is great. And, you know, anybody who's been on Twitter knows that there are, you know, even more people on Twitter talking about these things. But I think in that regard, you can always find somebody who's going to agree with you. And I think that's the biggest challenge, is trying to find people who you disagree with and who are kind of hopefully being honest in their approach to the markets. And I think that's always the challenge.
That said, we have this market where it's easy to find people who are saying we've got to have a big crash. It's even easier to find people that go, well, okay, there's not a lot that suggests that a crash must be in the offing. When you just are kind of looking at the divergence of opinion and you kind of try to sort out the media that we know has to do something to generate clicks and eyeballs and all those other sorts of things, is a market that's sending mixed messages as opposed to everybody agrees actually healthier?
Oh, yeah. No, I think absolutely. I think there is, the market doesn't have to do anything. I mean, that's something that I think that we put on the market. And I think that one of the challenges is, you know, everybody can find a favorite indicator. And sure, every valuation indicator you look at tells you that, you know, that stocks are expensive, but that doesn't mean that they necessarily have to crash. A plus B doesn't necessarily equal C in this case. And so I think that the thing that might disconcert everybody the most is that the market just kind of stays where it is for a while, doesn't crash, doesn't go a bunch higher. And I think in that regard, one of the challenges is being overly focused on the U.S. stock market is, it's a kind of, in a sense, putting blinders on. And I think for most investors, if they were to take a broader view of things, look overseas, look at other things besides U.S. stocks, I think they might see some better opportunities.
When you look out at all of the things that fall under your purview, you know, we've been talking on the show a lot about how the stock market's sending one message and the bond market is sending another message, and they can both be right, but only for so long. I look out at bloggers and I go, well, okay, each one of these guys has a message. They will all be right at some point. Some of them will not be right today or until the clock stops, but you do have periods where, hey, this could be right for now and that could be right for now and what have you. How do you tell somebody this is the message you should trust and that's the one you should be wary of?
By and large, I try not to do that. I mean, I think the way my self-written job description is really to look for things that are interesting to me. And those things that are interesting to me are either something I really, you know, I kind of disagree with and is kind of challenging my own opinion, or something that's just interesting in and of itself. And I think that's, you know, I think you're right in the sense that to look at what the stock market and what the bond market are saying, I think, and comparing those two, I think is important, because it's really easy to get siloed into one world or the other. And I think doing that crossover, I think, is important. But I don't think that I necessarily view my job as saying, oh, yeah, that's, you know, this is necessarily the conclusion I need to draw, because, you know, I think the way that for most people, that's really not what their job is or what their goals are. Their goals are to try and put together portfolios that work kind of over the long run, and trying to pigeonhole yourself into one viewpoint or another, that gets you kind of into that, you know, all or nothing 100% or 0% mindset, which I think can be damaging to people.
Well, and we should point out that at Abnormal Returns, and again, the web address is abnormalreturns.com, you pride yourself on not making forecasts. It's not something that you ever want to be doing. But how do you decide in this world where, you know, we've seen mainstream media labeled as fake news and a lot of people buying it as fake news? How do you deal with it in deciding what in the business world is or isn't fake news? Because we've got a lot of sites and, you know, you've got the mainstream media sites, but then you've also got things where pieces are sponsored. You know, people are being paid for the clicks they generate when they're writing about securities that they may or may not own, and a lot of other things. How do you decide who you can trust?
Well, part of that is, that's a great question. I think you have to be, you know, you always have to take things with a big grain of salt. And I think part of that is longevity. I know that that's probably not what some people want to hear, but if people, by and large, if you're sticking around, you're probably doing it for the right reason. And I think, at least specifically in regards to the blogosphere, I think the people who write in the blogosphere, by and large, again, are those people who are really trying to educate and provide people with viable information. You know, the blogosphere is not a place to get rich, and people who are out there writing daily on a daily basis are doing so, by and large, again, not exclusively, are doing so for the right reasons. They're writing stuff that they think is helpful and useful and hopefully educational. Obviously, there are a lot of sites out there that are focused on stock picks and trading strategies and all those things. And by and large, the way that I kind of avoid, you know, the way I handle that is I really don't avoid it. By not having to think about individual stocks and trading picks and when to buy and when to sell, I'm really able to avoid that. And that's, that's the strategy that I use in a certain respect. And so I am interested in things that are happening in the economy, and I think it's hard to avoid thinking about the Apples, the Googles, the Amazons, the Facebooks of the world, in part because they not only have they're important to the stock market, but they're also part of the economy and really just kind of the zeitgeist. And so that's where I think about individual companies and less so about, you know, buy here and sell someplace else.
Yeah, well, that you're right. That pretty much eliminates, you're not looking at the bad guys. You're not being caught up in the bad guys. You're not looking at the good guys. You're not making the value judgment at all. You're just saying, hey, let's avoid the day to day of pick this, buy that, sell this, et cetera.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, I think simply avoiding that. And again, that's a personal decision. And I think that people, you know, everybody has to decide how they want to spend their time and how they want to allocate their resources. And that's how I've chosen to do that. And I think, you know, increasingly, you know, one of the trends you have talked about on the show is the rise of indexing and the rise of ETFs. And I think that is in part a decision on the part of a lot of people saying, look, I'm not going to pick stocks. I'm going to buy the stock market. I'm going to buy a stock index fund. I'm going to buy a bond index fund and not have to deal with trying to navigate those waters. And I think for a lot of people, that's essentially it's less of a financial decision, more of a kind of a values-based decision in saying, here's how I want to spend my time and here's how I don't want to spend my time.
Well, Tadas, this has been great. I really am glad that we got a chance to catch up. I have more questions. I just don't have more time. So hopefully you'll come back and chat with us again in the not-too-distant future.
Anytime, Chuck.
Tadas Viscanta is the founder and editor at Abnormal Returns. Just like it sounds, abnormalreturns.com, on Twitter, at Abnormal Returns. All right, we just hit the halfway pole on the No Pants Friday, August the 25th edition of Money Life, but there's lots more to go. Up next, we'll be checking out what's on Jason Bond's watch, and then we'll be talking with Sam Lee from SVRN Asset Management about funds, ETFs, and closed-end funds. Stay tuned. This is Money Life.
Your pants may look playful now, but deep down in their pockets, they're pure evil.